Experiencing God's peace. What a vital topic in these troubled days in which we live. And as we open God's word today, I'm praying that He would bless lives in supernatural ways. Will you join with me as we pray? Our Father in heaven, we believe that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We believe that you want us to experience your peace. And so I pray today as we open your holy word, as we listen to you, that miracles would happen in each life, each hearer, for the blessing not only of that life, but lives around us. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sharon was a colicky baby. She cried for the first 3 years of her life. Her mother, exhausted, rather than finding peace and strength in God, gave her little daughter to a family nearby to care for her, and they submitted this helpless baby to black magic rituals. Before Sharon was old enough to understand about the battle between good and evil, she had become the habitation of demons. Sharon grew up, and she shared her testimony with me recently. She grew up believing that her only hope was to enter more and more deeply into the occult world, that somehow she would find peace for her troubled soul. But she shared with me, and I quote her comment, she said, "You have to constantly whip and feed every single lion," speaking about the demons. "Otherwise, the one you're not controlling will turn around and bite you. You never have rest or peace. You cannot even sleep." Sharon explored some people who claimed to be Christians. At least they were religious people. She went to a church and saw a man speaking, but as the power that controlled her came into that building, the man began to sputter and cough and couldn't even speak. She said, "Well, he obviously doesn't have any power that can help me." Two students that she knew who were supposedly Christians came to her house, but when they came to her house, careless and overconfident, the lights went out, furniture began to move. One of them fell over and dragged his companion out of the building, not knowing what to do. If it hadn't been for two fellow medical students, Sharon might be dead today. But there were two young men who had a living connection with God. And they began to pray for Sharon. One time she felt the presence of God so powerfully, she jumped out of the car that they were in. And she was unharmed. She said, "I don't know whether the demons protected me or God protected me." Well, I know the answer to that question. You see, Satan is a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't care about Sharon. But these two medical students had a living connection with God. They prayed for her and eventually prayed with her, and Sharon gave her heart to Jesus, and she was free. And you could see, if you met her today, that she is a vibrant, peaceful follower of Jesus. But she shared one part of her testimony with me that I will never forget. She said something that's obvious and yet often missed. I hope you'll always remember it. From her experience, she gave me this powerful testimony. Only God can give you peace. Did you hear what I just said? Could you say it with me? Only God can give you peace. Well, do you know that's what Jesus said? I want to turn you to a powerful word from Jesus today. In John chapter 14, if you have a copy of the scriptures, I invite you to look with me. John 14, verse 27. Jesus is speaking. Listen to what Jesus says. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Is that good news today? My peace I give to you. In the same gospel record, John 16 and verse 33, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Sharon was right. From the turmoil of her life, she had learned a precious truth. Only God can what? Give you peace. My peace I give to you. I want to share with you from God's word today that God wants you to experience His peace. Peace with God and peace in the midst of the trials and storms of this life. First, let me talk about peace with God. The Apostle Paul writes to Christians in Rome, in Romans chapter 5. Perhaps you're writing some of these texts down. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. We're talking about God wants you to experience His peace. Here, peace with Him, peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, what does it say in your Bible? We might find peace with God. Is that what it says? No. You see, when you trust Jesus, when you find that living connection with Jesus that Sharon found, even though her life had been the habitation of demons, when you find that living connection with Jesus, it says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you say? We have peace with God. Some people have the idea that God is out to get us, or even that God is out to hurt us. My friends, God is not out to get us. He is out to deliver us. He's not out to hurt us. He's out to help us. He wants us to experience His peace. Writing to Christians in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul gives a beautiful testimony. Ephesians 2 and verse 17, Paul says, Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. Jesus came and preached peace to those who were far off and to those who were near. Where do you think the Apostle Paul saw himself? As one who was far off or one who was near? Well, I think he probably thought he was one who was near. But if you read the story of his life, he wasn't always called the Apostle Paul, was he? Before he met Jesus and his life was radically changed, what was his name? Saul of Tarsus. And he was an enemy of the cross of Christ, an enemy of the followers of Jesus. And I want to read a text to you in the book of Acts. It's Paul's own testimony before he met Jesus. And it is very clear that this man, though he is religious, he does not have peace in his heart. Acts chapter 26, beginning with verse 9. Paul says, talking about his former life as Saul of Tarsus, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, he says, I cast my vote against them. Sounds zealous. But he goes on and says, and I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. That means to curse the name of Jesus. And being exceedingly enraged against them. Does this sound like a man who's filled with the peace of God? Being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. This man claims to be religious, but he doesn't have what we all desperately need, to experience God's peace. But then a day came that changed everything. Acts chapter 9 records the story. Saul of Tarsus, no peace in his heart, on his way to Damascus. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. You see, conviction was coming to him, but he didn't have peace, and he didn't know where to find it. He thought maybe he could find it by being more zealous, by being more religious. But you can't find peace any other way than through a living relationship with God. That's what the Bible teaches. Sharon was right when she said, only God can give you peace. You're troubled by sins of your past, by struggles of the present. I have good news for you. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He, that is God, is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us our sins, 1 John 1 and verse 9. And to do what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Jesus is a crucial part of that forgiveness and cleansing. For in that same letter in 1 John chapter 2 is a precious word to us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You see, Jesus is on our side. He wants us to experience God's peace. He is our advocate before the Father. You say, well, does that mean that Jesus loves me and the Father's angry with me? No. You see, Jesus wants us to see the truth about our Heavenly Father. For God, Jesus said, so loved how many? The world that He gave. He gave. God is not angry out to get us. Jesus is revealing the beauty of our great and awesome God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love us and want us to experience peace. Only God can give us that peace. But if you were following at the beginning, I said that Jesus wants us to have peace both with God, but also peace in the midst of the trials and storms of this life. Go back with me to John 16 and verse 33. We read this earlier when it talked about, in me you may have peace. But I want you to notice the rest of the verse. John 16 and verse 33. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. But notice what he says next. In the world you will have, what does it say in your Bible? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. I, Jesus says, have overcome the world. Is that good news tonight? You see, you will face trials and storms in this life. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and there's something even more precious. Speaking to his followers, Matthew 28 and verse 20. I want to read it from my Bible because I want you to remember it. Only God can give us his peace. And he wants to give us peace in the midst of the trials and storms of this life. I want you to notice the last phrase of chapter 28 of Matthew, verse 20. And lo, I am with you, how long?
Always.
I am with you, how long?
Always.
Even to the end of the age. Peace with God, but you can even have peace now in the midst of the trials and storms of this life because Jesus is always with you. Is that good news? I was on a trip to Australia not too long ago, and two sisters were sitting on the front row, and they came up to me after the meeting, and they said, we'd like to give you a book. Now, lots of people give me books. But they said, it's a book about our family. And I discovered that these two sisters were part of the Ferris family, and they had grown up as a missionary family in the Solomon Islands. And as I read this book, it's called Broken Stick, I read an amazing story. You see, God not only wants you to have peace in your relationship with him, but he also wants you to have peace right now in the midst of the trials and storms of this life. These two sisters, their father was called to the island of Guadalcanal in the Solomon Islands. In fact, a chief invited him to come and share the truth about Jesus. And Norman Ferris was delighted. And so he responded to the invitation. He went to the village, and he began to teach them songs about Jesus, and he had a picture roll, and he told them stories about Jesus, and people were starting to experience the peace that only God can give. But there was someone in the region who was not happy. I want to read to you exactly what happened. There was a devil priest named Ngata. He lived in that region near the village of Koilo Tumria. And Satan came to that devil priest. I know what you're thinking. How do you know that? Well, just be patient. I'll tell you the story, okay? Satan came to the devil priest and said, and I quote, Ngata, today a white man arrived in Koilo Tumria. He is dangerous and will bring chaos to our people. You must take your sword, go soon, and kill him. We're in a battle, aren't we? You can't have peace if you're fighting that battle by yourself. Only God can give you peace. Not only peace with him, but peace in the midst of the trials of this life. Well, Norman Ferris was sharing the truth about Jesus. It was now late in the day. They were singing songs about Jesus. And Ngata, the devil priest, came to that village, and he was waiting in the shadows, and then the people began to sing a simple gospel song. Perhaps you know it. Jesus loves me, this I know. You know the song? And they were so happy to know that God is not trying to get us, he's trying to save us. Like Pastor Dwight said in the first presentation, God's amazing grace. And this devil priest, as he heard them singing, I wish I could tell you that he just began to weep and set his sword down, but he didn't. He was filled with rage, the rage that comes from the power of darkness. He took his sword and he began to run across the opening directly towards Pastor Ferris. Pastor Ferris had no time to think, but simply to pray a short prayer. This was his prayer. Lord, send your mighty arm of power. I like that prayer, don't you? You know, it's not one of these real long. It was real simple. Lord, send your mighty arm of power. And in that instant, the devil priest was frozen in his tracks. Our God is an awesome God, isn't he? That devil priest couldn't even move. You see, the more amazing, I guess, than even that, is that Norman Ferris was filled with peace. Because Jesus says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Whether I live or die, it's all right because Jesus is with me. That's the way to have peace in your life. Devil priest frozen. Villagers come, overpower him. Norman Ferris's life is saved. But that's not the end of the story. That devil priest was so impacted by the power of the living God. Are you following me? Did you want to know how I knew what Satan said to the devil priest? You know what I'm going to tell you now, don't you? That devil priest was so impacted by the power of God. You see, he didn't have peace in his life. He didn't yet know what Sharon told us, that only God can give you peace. But he was so impacted that not long after that experience, that devil priest, Ngata, gave his life to Jesus as his Lord and Savior. In fact, he became a great worker for God. He raised up, I think it's 16 churches in that area, 2,000 followers of Jesus. Compelling witness that God can give you peace even today in the midst of the trials and storms of this life. You say, Derek, well, that's far away from here. Solomon Islands? What about now? What about here? What about in Alaska or Alabama? What about in California or Connecticut? What about to the uttermost parts of the world? Because someone's watching from somewhere far away from the United States or Canada. What about now, Derek? Can God give me peace now? What's the answer?
Yes.
Some years ago, my wife and I, we were living in California. We'd been there for almost 3 years, sharing the truth about Jesus. And my wife had been planning a house for 2 years, designing it, drawing the little, you know, she's not an architect, but drawing the little plans, the sightings, because most houses don't have any storage. Have you noticed that? So she drew the plans, and most houses don't have enough room, so she added the garage. And we had just begun to build a house. Now, that was in California. I don't know how it is in this part of the world or the part of the world where you live. But in California, just the building permits and the impact fees were $35,000. We bought our first house for $37,000. So we had just invested in the local government, $35,000, just poured the footers and some rough plumbing. When an invitation came to leave California and go to Orlando, Florida. Now, that's not a good time when you just started building a house. I was certain that my wife would say, Derek, we won't even go and talk to the folks there because, by the way, if God is leading you, it's always outside of what you think. You know, God wants to use us to impact the world, not to just live a safe little life and try to stay out of trouble till Jesus comes. My wife startled me after having planned this house for 2 years. She said, Derek, we didn't come to California to build a house, and we ought not to stay in California just to build a house. Thank God for a spouse who's open to the leading of God. Amen? Well, we flew out to Orlando and deeply impressed that God was leading. We need someone to come and point us to Jesus. My heart responded. My wife and I fully convicted. God performed many miracles, and we ended up there in Orlando, Florida. But I still had an unfinished house in California. And I was looking at the signs of the marketing system and the housing market, and I was sure that someday someone was going to put a pin in that bubble. And I was anxious. Do you ever get anxious about things? God wants you to experience His peace. Not just peace with Him, as precious as that is, but also peace in the midst of the trials and struggles of this life. I remember one morning, I was walking in our development near Orlando, Florida, and I was a little anxious. And I thought to myself, this, speaking about an unfinished house in California, this could be a financial disaster. And the Spirit of God rebuked me. I know you can't believe every spirit. You have to test them to see if it's of God. But do you believe that God can still speak to your mind and heart? He says, I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. He does that primarily through His Word. And that's why I love to memorize the Word of God, fill my heart with the Word, because when I don't know what to do, God knows what to do, doesn't He? And He will bring, Jesus said, He will bring His Word to our remembrance. And I was struggling. This could be a financial disaster. And the Spirit of God rebuked me and said, speaking to me as clearly as I'm talking to you, not an audible voice, but you know what I'm talking about when God speaks to your heart. It's a thought that's outside of your frame of reference. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, Derek, have I ever failed you? I said, no, Lord. You've never failed me. You've never failed me. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, flooded my heart. In fact, one of my favorite scripture songs, my wife writes scripture songs, and I love to sing them. I don't sing as well as the people we've been hearing. But one is, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I don't know what the local residents thought as I was walking along. You know, like, what's with this guy? What did he have for breakfast? Be anxious. But I could have been just crushed under the anxiety of that unfinished house. Do you know what I'm talking about? But God wants you to experience His peace. He wants you to be free from those things that would bind you. He wants you to experience peace with Him through our Lord Jesus. And He wants you to experience peace in the midst of the trials and challenges of this life. Recently, a member of our family faced a major health challenge. Some of you know what that's like, right? You have your plans and you know what you're going to do and raise your family, and all of a sudden something changes everything. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And it's so easy in that time for you to lose your peace. And Satan's right there saying, well, you know, if you really love God, things would go perfectly well. That's a lie. What did Jesus say in John 16:13? In this world you will have what? But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I will be with you in the midst of the trials and challenges of this life. A member of our family faced a major health challenge. All of a sudden, you just wonder what tomorrow will bring. Now, most of us, if we know Jesus, we're not afraid of death, because death has lost its sting, right? We have a glorious hope of a resurrection and an eternal life, not just living forever, but living forever with the one who loved us and gave himself for us. But the thought of dying is a little more challenging, because you don't know what it's going to be like, and the thought of separation from those you love. Have some of you experienced? Do you know what I'm talking about? And it's so easy for you to lose your peace. Something amazing happened to our family member. going into the MRI, getting the brain scan, trying to find out what's going on. That family member began to sing scripture. You say, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Jesus was with him. What a difference that makes. When Jesus is with you, no matter what challenge you face in your life, you don't have to face it full of fear, full of anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It was 2:30 in the morning, well, closer to 2 o'clock, but the phone rang. Most of us aren't awake at 2 o'clock in the morning, but the phone rang and jarred me from my sleep. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but the person on the other side said, did I wake you up? And what's even more crazy, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I said, no. I don't know why I said that. Why do we say that? I mean, it's obvious we're asleep already. Still. No. But what happened next jarred me. I mean, I was fully awake. One of my students, Robert Quintana, he said to me, Dr. Morris, that was my academic title. He said, Dr. Morris, we have a problem in our dorm. One of the students has taken a box cutter and he's slicing his arm from his wrist to his elbow. I mean, he's not trying to kill himself, but would you say that he needed God's peace? Something's wrong here. What's happening here? What is this pain that is so intense that you're needing to hurt yourself? Robert called me. He said, we were wondering if you would come over and pray with us. Well, I turned, my wife woke up when the phone rang, and I prayed with her. We prayed God's blessing and protection over our family. I got up, got into my car, drove the short distance to the university campus. I knew it was serious when I pulled up in front of the boys' dormitory, and the assistant dean was waiting for me. Now, 2:15 in the morning, he's waiting there at the door. Opened the door. We walked through the lobby and came to a stairwell going up to the first floor. And as I walked into the stairwell, there a group of young men were gathered and they were praying. Thank God someone's praying. Challenges of this life. Kingdom of darkness trying to crush us. But these young men were praying in the stairwell, calling out to Jesus. Just through the wall of the stairwell, in the next room on the first floor, was Michael's room. Michael sitting on a sofa, blood all over his arm. We prayed there in the stairwell. Finally, the door to the stairwell on the first floor opened. It was Michael's roommate. He said, he wants to see you. Well, I've learned something. Jesus, when he sent his followers out, how did he send them out? Do you know? You're right. He shouldn't do this by yourself, two by two. Now, Jesus says, I'll be with you, but still take a sister with you. Take a brother with you. Go two by two. So I turned to a young man, Andrew. I said, Andrew, will you go with me? And he said, yes. And what God did that night changed Andrew's life forever. I tell you, our God is an awesome God. He wants us to experience his peace, not only peace with him, but peace even now in the midst of the trials and storms of this life. We walked into the room, and there was Michael sitting on a sofa, blood all over his arm. I reached out my hand to touch his shoulder. He said, don't touch me. Okay? I'm praying, God, what do you want me to do here? Did I tell you we need to fill our minds with the Word of God? He'll give us peace as he brings his word to our remembrance. And as I'm walking and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? A story flashed into my mind. Jesus walking along, a blind man cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The crowd tries to silence him, but this man needs God's help. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. A story says that Jesus stops and he asks a simple question. What do you want me to do for you? And that scripture flashed into my mind. So I thought, okay, Lord, I turned to Michael. I said, Michael, what do you want Jesus to do for you? And instantly he replied, help me to forget. What's the first question that comes to your mind? It's not any of our business, is it? But he doesn't have any peace, something so terrible that he's cutting, help me to forget. And I thought to myself, can our Lord and Savior help people to forget? What's the answer? Yes, he can. I said, okay, Michael, I don't know what it is, but we'll kneel down. We prayed together in Jesus' name. I prayed the blessing of God over his life. Andrew by my side praying with me for Michael. We finished the prayer in Jesus' name. And then Michael, who had gone onto the floor, curled up into a ball, he looked up at me and he said, can I have a hug? And I thought, I don't know. I mean, when I came in and went to put my hand on him, what did he say? And now he wants a hug? Why, he could break my back. Okay, so I went to hug him. And as I did, he whispered in my ear, will he come back? I said, will who come back, Michael? He said, the dark man. Will the dark man come back? I said, Michael, how long has the dark man been troubling you? He said, since I was 6 years old. Every night the dark man comes. I said, what happened to you when you were 6 years old? He said, my father committed adultery, and he abandoned my mother, and he abandoned me. And every night the dark man came. That father who should have been praying over his family, that they could experience God's peace, leading his family to know God, peace with God, and peace in the midst of the trials and storms of this life. That father walking away saying, it's my life. It isn't your life. You were bought with a price. And Satan seized this young child by the soul. Every night the dark man came. Will he come back? And a boldness came to me. I'm not very bold normally, but the word of God flashed into my mind a story where Jesus cast an evil spirit out of someone, and Jesus said, leave him and never enter him again. Today, Michael teaches at the university where he was once a student, a devoted follower of Jesus. He has two little girls. He prays the peace of God for them. He prays the protection of God for them. But you know, I just have to share one last thing, and then I'm going to make a simple appeal. You got a card when you came in. But I just want to share with you how God gave me his peace, even though I didn't know the intensity of the battle. Do you remember when I walked into Michael's room? He later told me the story, and I reached out my hand to touch him. What did he say? Later, I met with him. He said, Dr. Morris, when you came into my room that night, I wanted to hurt you. I wanted to hurt Andrew. You remember the young man that came with me? I wanted to hurt Andrew too, but I could not because you were clothed with fire. Peace, peace, God's peace. In the midst of the trials and struggles of this life, God wants you to experience his peace. Do you want to experience that peace today? It's not just for someone else, it's for you. His peace.
He gives me peace in the midst of a storm. When the world I've been living in collapses at my feet, and my life is all windswept and torn, comes to my rescue, and I cling.